We're spending this part of the program talking about the trial of Slobodan Milosevic, which began today in The Hague. Milosevic had been Serbia's leader, later Yugoslavia's president. He is charged with crimes against humanity in the wars in Croatia and Kosovo, and with genocide as well in the conflict in Bosnia. Misha Glenny has written extensively about the Balkans. We reached him at the War Crimes Tribunal today and asked for his help in reviewing the decade of terror that followed Yugoslavia's breakup. He says it began at a time of drastic change for much of Eastern Europe.
Whereas the transition to a multi-party democracy was going relatively smoothly in the rest of Eastern Europe, in Yugoslavia, which paradoxically was economically and socially more advanced than the rest of Eastern Europe, the end of communism led to a multi-party system which saw the country fracturing into nationalist blocks. And this is when Milosevic was able to reach the height of his power using Serbian nationalism. And he challenged the Croats in particular in 1991, who tried to secede. And what you had basically was a showdown between two extreme nationalist ideologies. And this is when the bloody struggle ensued.
We have some tape from that time from NPR's Tom Jelton, who visited Vukovar, a city on the Danube, which was really close to Serbia, right there on the border. And it was a scene of great fighting. We want to hear this tape now.
Vukovar, once a picturesque city of 45,000, has been leveled. The tour began at one end of the city, wound through its historic center and across and out the far side of town. We did not in that time pass a single house or building that had not been heavily damaged by shelling or destroyed completely. It is not an exaggeration to compare the scene in Vukovar to Dresden after its firebombing, or even to Hiroshima.
That's Tom Jelton in 1991. Misha Glenny, I want to ask about a phrase that's a euphemism, unfortunate euphemism, that has come to wider use, but where does it come from, the phrase, and this relates to the charges of genocide, ethnic cleansing?
Well, ethnic cleansing first came into being in Croatia, and it came from initially the Serbian strategy of the Yugoslav army softening up a town or a village till it could no longer defend itself, rather like Vukovar, and then the paramilitaries would go in to cleanse the terrain, as they put it, and from the cleansing of the terrain, which meant going in and killing or arresting the civilian population, that then became known as ethnic cleansing. This, of course, first happened on a really massive scale in Croatia, and then it started happening on a massive scale in Bosnia-Herzegovina, particularly in eastern and then in northwestern Bosnia.
This was April of 1992 when that region is declared to be independent. The Bosnian Serbs take over. More than 200,000 people were killed, and as you know, millions were sent out of their homes. Here is someone talking with BBC reporter Paul Adams in 1994. This is after a mortar attack on a Sarajevo market.
I have no words to describe what happened today. This is just insane. I can't believe that people can do this. Why don't they go to the front line and fight there? Why are they shelling civilians? Some of my friends who were selling here on the market were killed today. They were trying to earn some money for their families.
Up the hill at Kosovo Hospital, the dead and the wounded were still arriving, brought in on
Friday. And that's in 94 in February. Misha Glenny, the conflict in Bosnia ended in part because Slobodan Milosevic went to Dayton, Ohio, and took part in the Dayton Conference. And wasn't he then being given a great deal of credit by the West for making peace in Bosnia?
Well, he was, and it was because after a while he became fed up with the Bosnian Serb leadership in particular, who wanted to continue the conflict and wanted to try and drag even more resources from Serbia into the conflict, and he wanted out. And Milosevic forced them by threatening to cut off all assistance to them to come to this deal. And this was such a relief to the outside world that Milosevic was hailed as the peacemaker, because he got the Bosnian Serbs under control at last. And for two or three years, he enjoyed tremendous respectability. And he blew it all over Kosovo, of course. Kosovo was, in a way, his Achilles heel, because it had such an important place in Serbian historical and political mythology.
The confrontations start in Kosovo between Serb forces, Yugoslav forces, and ethnic Albanians. Here's a bit of tape from NPR's Melissa Block in March of 1999. There had been reports of rapes by Serb soldiers in this area.
For 3 days and three nights, the soldiers came into the houses where the women were kept. One by one, they would single out women and lead them away at gunpoint. 60-year-old Zelihe Troli tells of her daughter-in-law, who was called away by the soldiers and was returned wearing only her underpants. She just said, "I don't want to live anymore," Troli recalls. "There is no reason for me to live." She'd been gang-raped by three or four soldiers.
That's from Melissa Block in 1999, the village of Dragacina in southern Kosovo. There are five counts for crimes against Kosovo Albanian citizens. That tape we just heard would speak to those charges, yes?
It does indeed. We're talking about vast expulsion of people. We're talking about murder, crimes against humanity, rape, you name it, it's all in there.
Misha Glenda, you've been involved with what's been happening in the Balkans for many, many years. A lot of people still in Serbia would respond to what Mr. Milosevic has said, that only a Serb can save a Serb, that he, whether or not he was interested in a greater Serbia, was defending the Serbian people. What's your opinion about that?
I think they're split. First of all, those people who actively support Milosevic are getting pretty thin on the ground. There is a much larger proportion of the population who think the War Crimes Tribunal in particular singles out Serbs and that there is an element of collective guilt implied by the Milosevic trial, something that the prosecution team on the opening day was at pains to point out that it did not intend to imply. But they also point out that the overwhelming number of indictees are Serbs. The question is can this process now be used as a method of reconciliation? This, we hope, will be a process which can assist the reconstruction and revival of the region, but the jury, to use an appropriate phrase, is still out on that one.
Mr. Glenny, thank you very much for explaining this.
You're more than welcome.
Misha Glenny speaking with us from The Hague, the site of the Milosevic trial. Mr. Glenny is the author of The Fall of Yugoslavia and The Balkans.